Welcome to the Latchkey Sibs, the podcast that challenges three siblings to take a look at our childhood movie cabinet and, one film at a time, criticize or defend the viewing choices we made as kids. I'm your host and the oldest sibling, Holland.
I'm Gray, and I'm the youngest.
I'm Allegra, and first we get jobs, then we get the khakis, and then we get the chicks.
Yeah, what a quotable movie this is, huh, guys?
All the other quotes I could think of felt weird saying to my siblings.
That's fair.
You want to lay some carpet? Like,
you're excited. Feel these nipples.
Oh, my gosh.
I
milk that I saw come out of Matt Stone's nipples in this movie.
Oh, God. I don't know if I said anything nice about this movie last episode, but I rescind anything that
happened. I'm really excited to announce that Josh loved it.
He did?
He loves the South Park guys.
Oh my gosh.
I also love the South Park guys.
I feel like this and movie yet is a really good example of why
you get high
they
to watch
should
movies
stick to making cartoons, because I feel like when their humor is applied to like live action, it doesn't translate.
To be fair, this was written and directed by the Naked Gun.
Yeah.
This like the people who did Airplane and shit.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, this was after the first season of South Park. I'm sorry if I'm digging into your trivia, Gray.
You are.
They thought the show was going to be canceled, so they agreed to do this movie.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay. I mean, but like it wasn't dissimilar to South Park
no
humor.
No, not at all. I'm sure things were rewritten and moved around to their liking, but yeah, I think it only became clear that this wasn't like written and directed by them this time around, mostly because I feel like if anything, of like, I agree with what you're saying where it's like the cartoonish antics and like slapstickiness, like it's a little too over the top for live action and would translate better as a cartoon. But I will give them credit that, like, when they're in control of a movie or just, you know, a story, like, at least their dialogue is a little better.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just this movie was so... we're getting way ahead of ourselves. We haven't even gotten past, you know, our intros. But it just... it was so clunky. And just, like...
very.
Hard to kind of, like... settle in.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and speaking of settling in,
before we get too deep, if you haven't listened to the pod before, this would be a wild place to start, but each week one of us has to present a movie to be critiqued while the other two score it based on five specific categories. Each week's score will be added up, and at the end of the season the sibling with the most points wins, while the other loser will be forced to do some sort of punishment. And this week, we're talking about basketball.
We're playing basketball. We're playing basketball.
Oh, you got really quiet there.
I was expecting people to start talking.
You did the fade out. Yeah, unfortunately, I have to defend this movie that I've never seen before until today.
Woo!
And I really don't know how I'm going to do it because I hated it.
This is the best case scenario for me. It's my stinker, but I don't have to defend it. But I got to like watch it to be like, is this as stinky as I remember it? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty stinky.
Yeah, I did not have a good time.
It's like my dog after going out in the rain.
I genuinely had hope that this movie would kind of be like, oh yeah, I know it's dumb, but at least it's like entertaining. And I was sorely mistaken. And this is honestly one of those movies where I'm like genuinely embarrassed by my taste as a child.
Question, were you sober?
Yes.
I feel like maybe this movie would have been enhanced. Oh, like
during watching?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it like this morning. So.
Oh work. My God.
Like during work.
Couldn't you?
Because I worked from
watching
home.
It
I
in the morning home. When you couldn't be more sober.
Yeah, I worked from home today and I like fit it in.
I feel like this has potential as a good high movie.
I don't even think
I don't
that,
think so.
Like. I don't think anything's going to salvage that viewing experience. Because it's not even, like, it's not a so bad, it's good. It's, like, they definitely tried with this movie, but it was just, like, it was cringy. And, like, I guess the humor was just, like, oh, no. Oh,
I'll
who
just,
thought that? Okay.
I'll just say this to you, Allegra.
The slow clap.
You have truly outdone yourself with your movie selecting choices this season.
You win some, you lose some.
I mean, I don't know if you guys can recall who chose what movie back in the day. I feel like Holland chose I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry, which is the podcast's lowest rated movie.
I think I must have drafted that.
I didn't even dare because I didn't want to watch it so much.
I think I might have chosen Grown Ups. Do we know who chose Kangaroo Jack?
You, Gray. Fucking you did that.
Well, Allegra, you're now on the board for a truly unforgettable movie choice for this podcast because... I think this has real potential to be in that bottom echelon of the movies we've had to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I think we, you know, kind of have to just assume Big Rock Candy Mountain should be our lowest score. And it's only because I am a deranged person.
Skewed by Allegra's weird-ass nostalgia.
Like,
hey, I benefited from it, so I'm not complaining.
I'm just saying that, you know,
Can I just put this into perspective? Big Rock Candy Mountain scored higher than Coming to America and 27 Dresses.
It did?
Yes.
Wait, what was the score again?
Big Rock Candy Mountain, which I think I had to defend. No, Holland had to defend.
No, I did.
Was a 58.
I did not deserve that.
Largely contributing is
but
the
you know what?
Is the appropriate for children score. And
Allegra's crazy.
And Allegra's nostalgia.
But you know what, though? I had a better time watching that movie than this one.
Really?
It was shorter.
I felt like this movie had moments, though.
This movie did have moments.
There were
it
blips.
It did
there were
have
blips.
Moments.
Yeah,
hold on.
True.
I'm going to the Big Rock Candy Mountain actual score breakdown.
He wants to break it down.
So here were my scores. Nostalgia, 3. Sit through, 1. Appropriate for children, 9. Does it hold up, 3. Can I follow, 2.
I felt like that 2 was generous.
Allegra's nostalgia, 10.
10.
Sit through, 8. Appropriate for children, 9. Does it hold up, 6. Can I follow, 6.
Your sit through was 8. So you also... thought that that movie was more enjoyable than this one, probably. I'm just assuming that you didn't give Basketball an 8 for stiff throwability.
If Allegra's score was isolated and averaged out to be out of 100, she would have given this a 78.
I just say the nostalgia goggles were so strong for that movie. They're not, they're practically
non-existent. It's not a movie. That is not a movie.
It was not in the cinema.
It was like 58 minutes long.
Dude, I can't believe you let me get away with that.
I wasn't claiming.
I was arguing against it.
Gray tried to not let you get away. He was like yelling at you and was calling you a psycho.
No, it's so funny to me. Like, guys, I have to ask, genuinely. How do I keep arguing my way into these messes? How do I keep doing it? Because I'm like, no, Coming to America is absolutely wrong. No, Big Rock Candy Counting absolutely counts. Like, do you
Holland,
feel bad for me?
Holland,
like,
how I was treated in childhood? Do you hear what Allegra's saying?
What?
She's giving us the okay to stop listening and validating her opinions. You know what, Allegra?
She's been fighting for her entire life.
Your wish has been granted.
What if you were all bullying me for correct reasons?
Yeah,
exactly. What if I deserve to be
bullied? We were helping you.
Allegra, tell your fucking therapist that, all right? Because
you
make us
yourself
out to be the bad guys. You know what? I want to say in your next therapy session to go, actually...
We were actually, like, saving you from yourself.
I can't remember if I ever put this on the podcast, but way back when we first started recording and I heard the sound of my voice, I voice messaged the Sibs and I was like, I get it now. I get why I'm so punchable. I didn't connect before, but now that I'm hearing my recorded voice, it all makes complete sense. I get it. You guys are totally fine.
You did say that.
Even still, it's not the voice. It's the things you're saying with the voice.
I don't know. You two have not been the only people in my lives to tell me it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Yeah. But it's okay. You're working on it.
Here's what's funny.
Oh my God. Holland, is that your way of like, oh, bless your heart?
Absolutely. But here's what's funny to me is that I have gotten so good at eating shit that I can now just take it and keep arguing, and I keep getting away with it. Team Allegra, legheads.
I guess
leg day.
Sometimes I guess like what we do let you get away with is like the result of being just like broken down. Be like, you know what? Whatever.
Yep.
Fine.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing. When it's things like coming to America
refusal.
And it's self-inflicted, I'm okay with that.
True.
When it's Big Rock Candy Mountain and Holland and I have to deal with the consequences, that's where we step in. But all of that to say, to bring us back to why we're here today, you really redeemed yourself with this movie. Because this was such a piling, steamy load of shit.
Yeah.
And
Holland,
I only enjoyed watching it knowing that Holland had to defend it.
Holland, I'm not trapped in here with you. You're locked in here with me. This is the mind. She's now very uncomfortable being so close to me. We are inches apart.
Okay, let's get back to the reason
we're here. Hey, you know how we always talk about anything else other than the movie where we don't like the movie?
We haven't even described the plot yet.
Yeah, great.
Which leads me to what we're doing next. So, for those of you who decided not to watch this movie, I'll give you just a brief little recap about what this movie's about. Courtesy of Kelvin Cabrera Castellar. Two losers from Milwaukee, Coop and Reamer, invent a new game playing basketball using baseball rules. When the game becomes a huge success, they, along with a billionaire's help, form the Professional Basketball League, where everyone gets the same pay and no team can change cities. Coop and Reamer's team, the Milwaukee Beers, is the only team standing in the way of major rule changes that the owner of the Dallas Felons wants to institute. That's it. You guys can talk now.
When did this come out? 1998?
It came out July 31st, 1998. So Holland was 6, Allegra was 3.5-ish, and I was 1.
We obviously didn't see this in theaters. I had never seen it until
Once again, today. It seems as though not many people did see it in theaters.
I'm honestly kind of surprised it came out in theaters.
I'm honestly shocked that our dad has seen it.
Well, kind of.
I saw it on Comedy Central.
Yeah, so did I.
I feel like my only experience with this movie was like walking by as you guys were watching it in the living room at dad's house.
Yeah, Holland just sulks over to the freezer, grabs her 2 corn dogs out of the oven, lathers her plate with mustard, and then leaves.
And she gets her cup of blended ice and fucks off.
Hey, or it was a Marie Callender's chicken pot pie.
The only person I've ever seen elect to use the crushed ice feature on a home fridge. Holland Baker.
I loved the crushed ice feast.
Dude, I loved crushed. But crushed ice wasn't enough for her.
She had to take the crushed ice and then put it in the blender.
I don't think I did that that often. That was maybe like a phase that I had.
All I remember is watching TV and suddenly, like no warning, not I'm about to do this. Not,
I forgot
you're gonna
that
pause.
I had even done that.
And then you look over it and right it's now. Just ice.
Yeah, and then the loudest fucking metal spoon.
Actually, you know what? I remember doing that, and I was like, yeah, that because it was fucking awesome.
No, it was like 112 degrees outside.
Yeah, but it was like summer in Sacramento. It
but
was hot as shit.
I was watching TV, and you just blend. No warning, no heads up. You just fuck what my drag. You're just going. And then as soon as you're done blending, you take this metal spoon in the glass blender, like, ding, 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 scrape, scrape, ding, 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 ding.
I didn't realize how much this like still affects
you
to this day.
Yeah, wow. I didn't even remember that she did this.
I didn't until you mentioned it right now. This is like a buried memory.
Well,
great.
You played outside. You know, you had friends that you went out and saw. I was in front of the TV watching fucking 18 hours of the worst movies you've ever seen.
Allegra's like, oh, sweet, Ben 10's on again.
Dude, Ben 10 was good, and everyone else, you're going to feel like a fool when this episode released. Ben 10 was great.
Can I? Never mind. Let's move on. Did our parents have any thoughts on this movie?
Yeah, hang on 1 second. Dad, so I didn't text Mom because I don't even think she knows what this movie is. But Dad said, I haven't seen it in its entirety. Kind of odd, goofy, and hokey. That's all I got.
Well, when we talked on the phone, he just went, oh.
That's probably why he had the luxury of being able to turn it off when he decided it was not for him anymore.
Meanwhile, Gray and I were watching this with commercials.
That's commitment.
Anyway, Dad didn't really have many thoughts, so let's give our pre-watch notes. Yay.
I can go first because they're really short. Pre-watch. I've never seen this. I only remember seeing Trey Parker and Matt Stone wearing jerseys, assuming the humor is very South Park. That's all I got.
Allegra?
2 ding-dongs invent a sport and it becomes really popular. They have crazy long dicks.
I remembered that too.
I mean, how could you forget?
That's literally all
That's
I remember.
All you wrote.
I remember that Trey Parker had, like, the grossest bleach blonde hair dye job, but
yeah,
that's
the hair
it.
Is bad.
That's all I remember.
A lot
of it came back as I was watching, but, you know.
So, mine say, watch this a decent amount in late middle school, early high school era. Genuinely loved the concept of the game and wanted to play it with friends, like IRL. I know it's going to be so bad, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were still some laugh out loud moments in this movie. I can't remember much other than Lazy Boy, their giant dicks, and their small friend with a super stupid nickname. Obviously, I also remember they, like, start a pro league for the sport.
Wait, you watched this movie multiple times?
I think I'd seen it, like, thrice.
Wow.
But it was all, like, very close together. Mm. And it was, like, I watched it once with you, and then, like, at least once with, like, a friend.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that means your nostalgia score is relatively high. Should we get into scores?
Sure. My nostalgia is a 5.
Okay, honestly, I'll take it.
My nostalgia is a 4.
Can you say that again into the mic?
My nostalgia is a 4. I'm a little punch drunk. I'm sorry, guys.
Beautiful. Okay.
A little punchy.
Sit through ability, I have a 2.
I wrote these scores last week. I'm shocked. I wrote an 8.
Oh my god. Allegra, hide I'll argue with you
Big
down.
Rock Candy Mountain.
Don't worry, Allegra. Hey, no, I'll no, argue no, you down.
You can. Hey, you had a good time. You can't deny that.
I think it was because I was with Josh.
You can't deny that. You had a great time.
Separate his
sit
through ability. You have to think about your. How about this? If you had to watch it again right now, what would your. Alone, right now, what would your sit through ability be? Think about that when we do our post-show scores.
That's what was in your heart, so I think you can keep it.
Inspiration / sportiness, I gave it a 4. Again, just because I genuinely like the concept of the game.
Okay.
And that's
it. I also
it.
Gave it a 4. I also gave a 4.
Okay.
Does it hold up? I gave it a 1.
Give her like a 6.
Oh my god, Allegra.
I love the Allegra delusion.
I don't know, it all seems way too high now.
It is.
No,
Allegra, remember
no.
this feeling
Allegra,
because it
hey,
is.
Hey, Allegra, ignore everything I just said earlier. All of your thoughts and opinions are correct.
No, they're incorrect, and that we need to argue you with you to bring them back down to earth.
Yeah, great. Don't worry. I think it'll. There's gonna be some.
All right. Can I follow? I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 4.
It wasn't illegible, or whatever the visual aspect of that. I guess legibility is reading. It wasn't unintelligible. There we go. But it also wasn't good. So I was just like, all right, 5. But you know what? I think I like the number 4 better, anyways. Who knows?
It really didn't fucking make sense, this story.
It really did not. My first note was, like, I'm immediately curious about the budget of this movie, because...
Yeah, a lot of set pieces.
A lot of set pieces, a lot of cameos, but all of the money must have gone to those two things.
Yeah, a lot of music... Right stuff that I'm assuming.
They got real big fish.
Real big fish. Yeah, I think I wrote, ska would be the music of this sport.
Ooh, I hate ska.
They got real big fish. They got actual Reggie Jackson. Jenny McCarthy was in it. Some other...
For some reason.
Some other Playboy.
Yasmin Bleeth. Yes. Oh, yeah, whoever that Playboy girl was.
And then they actually got... They got real, like, very famous sports announcers, Al Michaels and Bob Costas, in this movie. I was blown away that Al Michaels and Bob Costas were in this fucking movie. Al Michaels is still an NFL commentator today.
Yeah. And they made one of them real weird.
Al Michaels.
There was a third guy too. There was like the when they was like awarding the giant ridiculous trophy.
Who was the guy? Who was the true crime? The Dateline
guy.
Was that a real guy?
That guy killed it.
That guy was
Robert,
so good. Right?
Robert Stack.
Okay, I couldn't remember if he was like
Robert Stack does sound like a name.
Well, he's known for being in like Airplane.
Okay.
But also he was in, I guess, a bunch of like movies in the 40s and 50s too. But he had some of my favorite like line deliveries of the entire movie.
It was really funny.
Like here, I actually saved this quote from him that was like, this was like the only part that actually kind of got me, where it was like, the police have pieced together numerous theories on Coop's whereabouts. And then it goes to Reamer, Matt Stone. I have no fucking clue where the hell he is. For all I care, he could be hanging by his neck in his fucking closet. Scenario one, he's hanging by his neck in his fucking closet. Jenna Reed, you want to know where Coop is? Just look for the most heinous, vile, and horrible exploitation of children on the planet. Scenario two, Coop went to Disney World.
Yeah. And then he paused, was like waiting for the laugh. He's like, I gotta pause.
Pause for laughter.
Yeah. That one was really good. I wrote that one down because it actually made me really laugh. The only other one that I thought was pretty funny was, you know, like, what's one thing you want more in this, or you want in this world or whatever? And he goes, Chelsea Clinton? He goes, that's a long shot, dude. It's like, yeah, you'd have a better shot with Bill.
Yeah. And those, after the Epstein flight drop, that line hits different.
Yeah. And oh my God, I didn't even connect that.
I know. I didn't even think about that.
But other than that, I think those were the only like actual kind of laughs I got from this movie.
I
will say, I started off the movie almost hopeful, because I did also like the beginning montage when they were talking about like the sports celebrations. I thought like the Irish River Dance,
yeah, the football extended players.
Football celebration was kind of funny. I was like, oh, it's kind of funny. And it's, yeah, like, and I know this is like, it's the description on Amazon Prime says it's like a commentary on the sports industry or like whatever, yeah, like I'm like, maybe it'll be okay. And then was very immediately disappointed.
My, yeah, first,
I liked the tampon blimp with the string.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
It was, I also did. In the opening montage, they're like, all these stadiums are now like bought out by brands.
Oh, yeah,
and there was,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
the MaxiPad stadium with like the blimp going by with like the string hanging off the, yeah, end.
I also had
moved to Salt Lake City where they don't allow music.
I also had some hope in the, like, when they first show up to the like party in the beginning, mm-hmm, mostly just because I was like, you know, they're like establishing like their kind of characters. And I was like, okay, this does feel very like the highlights of South Park, when he goes like, you know, man, this place looks like a Dockers commercial. And then he keeps calling people cock under his breath. I was like, okay, like, maybe this actually isn't going to be that bad. And then it just, like, didn't. It just, like.
And then they go into the mom's room and start,
yes,
sniffing underwear.
Exactly. It's, like, immediately. Immediately, I lose all semblance of hope. Also,
the hold-up score is not. The hold-up
score is, I cannot argue.
It's not.
The hold-up score should be a one. But anyways, was that. Hey, I don't, man, know about the entire house. But the backyard where they were playing basketball at the party, I'm pretty sure is where Jim Halpert and David Wallace played basketball in the office at the dinner party. Not the classic dinner party, the David Wallace dinner party.
Oh, interesting.
At least the same set.
I don't know. It looked like the settiest set you ever did see, so I have no idea.
I have not seen The Office enough to verify.
I know what you're talking about.
The first note I have of the movie is the tinfoil got me. When they're doing the distractions.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh,
Trey Parker just
takes a ball
aggressively
of
eating tinfoil. I was like, okay. And when he does the little, like flipping him off, and then the shears. I don't know. I thought that those were good Trey Parker
moments.
Yeah,
some of the, yeah, I agree, some of the psych outs were like entertaining. A lot of them, though, I just felt,
were very,
no,
bad,
pun
very
intended,
bad,
fell short. Like,
yeah,
it just, yeah.
Squeak was not funny.
Oh my
Squeak
god.
Squeak was not funny.
Squeak. Poor Squeak.
Do you want to know something like about Squeak, too? Is in the original script, there was no third character, and Parker and Stone convinced the writer director. Hold on,
Zucker.
Yeah, David Zucker. They convinced him to add that third character, where I feel like 100% didn't need to be a part of the movie at all. Yeah,
that's honestly kind of shocks me, because that character feels like a studio add-on of being like, we need more slapstick, we need more jokes, because Squeak was just like the punching bag of this entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, literally and figuratively.
It never worked. He was like dead air the whole time.
Yeah. It was just like mean and not funny. Just there to bully. And just like, okay, get it. And then with like the trans jokes that happened, like, also part, yeah. Like,
yeah, the 90s were obsessed with making trans jokes. Yeah. It's really out of pocket. Yeah.
I will say, though, Trey Parker and Matt Stone were ahead of their time by full-on making out with each other in this movie.
I did, and I, you know what? I think they did have chemistry throughout the whole movie. So when it happened, I was like, okay.
You know,
I believe it.
That was also their idea to put into the film.
Dude, I was like, every time Josh and I watch a movie, I will always go and kiss to the straight dudes on screen. And it's like, haha. And I did it. And I was like, oh my God, it worked! It worked!
Oh my gosh. Have you guys...
Sorry.
So I watched Beverly Hills Cop for the first time recently.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I've never seen it.
So in the start of the movie has Eddie Murphy in, I want to say, Detroit, and his like friend comes into town, and like the entire time they're hanging out, like that evening in the beginning of the first like 10 minutes of the movie, I swear to God they're about to fuck. Like they had such intense chemistry with each other that I was like, holy shit, like they're about to make out right now. So
I gotta watch Beverly Hills Cop. All
right, now I'm really invested in Beverly Hills Cop.
I think you guys would agree with me, and I can't wait to hear your guys' opinions once you ever get around to watching it. Okay.
Can I now jump to I think part of what made my scores overly generous is that I immediately went to the Letterboxd reviews, and they're so fucking funny to me that I was like, haha, we did all have fun, didn't we, guys? Because it doesn't matter. So many of these are joke 4 or 5 star reviews, and a lot of them are like 1, 2, 1.5 stars, but almost all of the comments have the little like heart. And my favorite, the 5 stars, y'all think they explored each other's bodies? And then like, hard.
Honestly, I hope so.
5 stars, hard to watch? No, hard while watching.
Really?
And then like, 5 stars, hot girls for Matt Stone. 5 stars, where's the Criterion release? 3 stars, Trey Parker with bleach blonde hair, I'm in your walls. 2 stars, this movie is like porn for people who are deeply attracted to pathetic losers. 4.5 stars, sorry Gray.
I was just gonna say, this made me open up the IMDb reviews, and all of these reviews are written by people that we would do anything in our power to never hang out with. And what all of them, it's awesome too, because like the top 2 comments are from 2003 and 2004.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Can I just read? I'm just going to read the top one. No, I'll read the top one and then just one part of the second one. But okay. The top one is titled, "What's the Big Deal?" And it says, "I've heard so many critics and average Joes ripping into this flick like it was the first sign hailing the Antichrist. The movie is simple, yes, but damn funny. Maybe I'm just not caught up in my own pretense to enjoy a simple movie. Yes, there are times when I crave something more sophisticated, but this movie still has my friends and I rolling in the aisles. Give it a chance. You just might like it. 7 out of 10. And then
still only seven. And
the subtitle for this podcast could be "Caught Up in Our Own Pretense." Yeah.
This movie, or the next one is very similar. Like, once I watched it, I was hooked, and I've watched it 50 times. It's one of those movies I could, one of these films I can never seem to grow tired of. And then it goes, obviously, it doesn't hurt that there's plenty of nude and amazingly gorgeous women in the film.
Oh, no! Do we need to talk about the lingerie?
And then it goes, Victoria Silvstedt, wow, is the only word that springs to mind. But it also, because it's so delightedly respectless towards just about anyone or anything.
I just want to give
respectless.
Yeah. But I do want, I will say, Holland, yes, we can talk about the lingerie cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders.
Because every single time it was jarring.
Every time they came up, I was like, I was upset, and I like just tracking every new outfit and was like always pleasantly surprised when they were mostly covered. I was like, how is like them only wearing like a button-up shirt the most covered they have been in this whole movie?
I was like, yeah, the lingerie is a bit objectifying. Oh, hello, leather whip women. Oh, hello, literal strippers. Like,
with see-through shirts.
Yeah.
I was like, empowerment. This does not pass the Bechdel test.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, there was inclusion. There was also the San Francisco ferries.
Oh my god.
I was like, honestly, is this a case in which, you know how we've watched a lot of movies with a lot of homophobic jokes, but like given the context of today, they somehow maybe go full circle into being inclusive again?
No.
Because No, this is not the case. This is not the case. But I felt like it could it almost maybe got there until Trey Parker shows Squeak's ass.
Yeah.
And then they drop the pink flag. You're not getting red flagged, you're getting pink flagged. And he's like, that wasn't a gay joke.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-oh. They had
Also, does San Francisco have fair, like, the boat? Fair, okay.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, Gray, how did you feel about your city being represented?
I was stoked. I was just sad they lost. You know, I love my team. Big fan, huge supporter.
I don't know if there was a New York team, but there was the New Jersey Informants.
The Informants. They should have been the New Jersey Garbage Men. Wow, okay. Have we all seen I Think You Should Leave?
Yes.
No, I need to.
Great. The roadkill.
Yes, scene. Corncob TV.
It was exactly reminded me of Coffin Floppers. And then it came back. Like, that got me. I don't know.
It didn't get me, but it did remind me of that.
It was kind of annoying that Trey Parker kept going like, ah. But I did think that was kind of funny when he, like, was making out with Jenna. And then Matt Stone comes in. Okay, I have struggle with their names because I think that Trey...
I don't remember anybody's name.
I think Trey looks like a Matt and Matt looks like a Trey.
I fucks me up. Agree.
Thank you. But anyway, he goes... Like, so Matt Stone comes in and interrupts their makeout sesh, and she's like, I have to go. And he goes, Jenna, For some reason, Jenna, also made me laugh.
Yeah, there were a few bits like that. Like, that one and the, like, cock beer? Like, that did... I was like, oh, that's very, like, South Park-esque. And it did kind of make me, like... I'm like, okay, this movie... I feel like if they were able to enter the writer's room, they really could have punched this movie up to a somewhat decent movie.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the concept is... not a bad one. Like, I understand, like, what they were trying to do with, like, we want to comment on the sports industry and da-da-da-da-da. But it just, the plot was so convoluted that I was often confused. And there were, like, things that were started and then we, like, didn't come back to them until the end. I was always confused about, like, the evil guy and Jenny McCarthy, I was like, why is he doing this again?
We spent way too much time with fucking Joey, the dying child, and not enough with the villain. Also, did they even realize that they named Trey Parker's character Joe and the dying child Joey?
Well, they just called him Coop.
I feel they just improv'd this child's name.
Yeah, I think just this whole movie, the main problem was that it just got lost. The plot got lost with trying to fit in as many jokes as possible. And I even wrote that I think that this movie could have been saved. And I didn't realize when I wrote this that this was made by the Naked Gun guys, but like, if this movie even had, like, a remote semblance of sincerity to break it up a little bit...
Yeah.
Then it could be a little more watchable. But totally. It was just, like, it was just nonstop, which made all of the jokes dampen.
That's a really good point. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, there was zero sincerity. So I, like, wasn't rooting for anybody.
I don't know. There were moments, I think, in the middle where I felt like Trey Parker was, like, he knew what he was doing. Like, he knew what his role was supposed to be, and he was delivering what he needed to deliver. But, like, then
he Joey, like almost murdered the child in the hospital.
That scene went on for so
long. Oh my god, it went on for so long.
Hey, so do you like?
She's broken. We have to restart her.
It's peak comedy, right? When you like go to a hospital to visit a child, and you sit on his air tube multiple times, and then you think he's dying, and you, like, jumpstart his heart a million times. And, like, I was like, I do not want to watch these people murder a child.
You see, in sketch comedy, endings are hard. So they just kept escalating, and they didn't know how to get out of the scene.
So they literally cut the power to the hospital.
Womp womp womp.
Yeah.
It seems like this that remind me that, like, some of non-Americans' biggest critiques of American comedy is, all they do is yell. This is my fake pan-European accent. They're just yelling all the time. And I'm like, yeah, this is just a lot of yelling and not actual jokes.
Yeah.
It was pretty brutal.
And then with just the, like, slapstick or, like, shock factor sprinkled in.
Yeah, there was just too much being crammed in, where I feel like if there was even a little bit of editing and then giving a little more breathing room and a little more to other jokes, like when Trey Parker goes to visit the evil guy in his office and he has like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in a glass case and like Siegfried and Roy and he has all the sports memorabilia, I'm like, does Kareem Abdul, I can't speak, does he even like speak? In this movie, he seemed like clocking out. Like, but I feel like you probably could have done a little bit. Like, that could have been a running gag.
He has a good joke. I'm so glad they showed him clocking out because I was like, thank God this man is getting paid. Because I was like, do not lay. I was like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like a big activist and like equal rights person. Like, if the joke is he's like owned by a white man,
yeah,
I was
like, I didn't love that. But, like, that could have had more
meat. But he was an airplane,
to
so.
It. But instead we had to watch Squeak, like, get murdered 7 times.
And his name was Kenny.
I know.
Like, in South Park.
Was it?
And he did the Cartman voice, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
He did the Mr. Garrison voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He sang a little song.
So.
Oh, I did. You know what? I did love that he had a bug as his car.
Yeah, he's like fucking like, I made all this money, here's my rich sports car. It's a fucking red
VW bug.
I did find that
like the new one.
Wait, who? Matt guys, Stone?
No, Trey Parker.
When he's like being all moody and sad and he's driving
he's
around
listening
town.
To that song.
Oh,
that
the song that he was singing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, have any of you ever been to India?
I have not.
No, but it felt like I did when I went to, when we watched him go to Calcutta.
I was like, wow, the Calcutta airport looks exactly like Long Beach Airport, am I right? Crazy.
Yeah, and I guess it's like actually really easy to like reform a like child labor.
A sweatshop?
Like a sweatshop.
I was like wild. I was like, I did not expect this to be the resolution to basketball. was Cooper single-handedly ending child labor.
Well, at least for their merch, you know.
Speaking of merch, one like visual gag that did get me was in the beginning-ish when they lost the championship and they're being interviewed and they all have losers merch.
Loser hats.
Yeah, like loser hats and shirts. I would love like that.
More sports did that.
Yeah, I would just love like that piece of merch like I would wear where it like it looks like a championship baseball hat and it just says loser in like fun font.
Okay, I'm out of notes, but I did want to play one game with y'all.
Okay.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Okay.
Coop, Reamer, and then Jenna and Squeak. They're a package. They're a package deal. It has to be Jenna and Squeak.
Is that Yasmin Blythe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, what? It's fuck, marry, kill?
Fuck, marry, kill?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marry any of them.
I would kill Reamer.
If you fuck Squeak and Jenna, it'd be a threesome.
Yes.
And then I would marry Jenna and Squeak and then just keep Squeak in that little like trundle bed.
The dog bed. What about you, Holland?
I don't know, I have to think about it. What about you?
Me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd fuck Reamer, marry Coop, and then kill Jenna and Squeak.
You'd fuck Reamer, marry Coop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I would do that too.
Yeah.
I think I would do that too.
He's definitely more tolerable of a person, but I'm more attracted to Reamer.
But yeah, you would... Same. And you'd rather kill... Jenna and Squeak.
Squeak is just not a fuckable or marriageable option.
Yeah, but the whole concept of Squeak is that you can dismiss it.
He's so annoying.
That's why Gray is putting him in the trundle.
Yeah. Listen, Gray, it's very humane of you that you wanted to be married to a woman and her weird dog, okay? Like,
speaking of Yasmin Bleep, before this movie, I had never actually seen her in anything. My only reference point for her, like I knew she is Friends. And like I knew she was in Baywatch.
Who is she in Friends?
She's not in Friends. No. Chandler just loves her in Friends. Like when he's talking to like the early seasons when he and Joey are really into Baywatch and he's like, Yasmin Bleeth. So that was like my only reference point for her. So this is the first time I've ever like seen what she looks like, seen her acting, and I gotta say, it was not good.
She was not amazing.
But she is 90s hot. Holy crap, she's the most 90s looking ass woman I've ever seen.
Very 90s.
That hair.
Also, so you know, what was the point of Jenny McCarthy's character? In this movie?
Yeah, I mean, it was like
speaking or actually,
it was like she
was married to the billionaire who died, and then she teamed up with like that other guy. But and there was some mention of like if they don't win the championship
then she takes ownership, which is why the evil guy wanted to cozy up to her so he could take ownership and run the league. But I feel
I feel like
they could have done completely without her and just written it as like, if you don't win the championship, the league defaults or the team defaults to the league and all decisions are made by the, you know, the chairman, which is that other guy. Yeah. Like they could have easily not needed her in there.
Or we didn't need that other guy, and she would have had a more active, like, villain role because she wanted to own the team. Like, I don't understand why she was seeking out this other guy when she was the one who would benefit from them losing. Like,
well, she wasn't like seeking him out. I think it was, if anything, it was just because, again, this movie's terrible. She's just like stereotypical gold digger.
Gold digger.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. Another old man that I can be with.
I feel like if Jenny McCarthy was the straight up villain, we really didn't need this really bizarre child sweatshop esque little resolution. Because he's like,
exactly.
He's like, oh, and now the reputation of the Children's Make-A-Wish Foundation is in jeopardy. And I was like, what
the
fuck?
It was so convoluted. It was, yeah, it just, yeah. I can't.
But remember when they're in the locker room talking about all this weird bullshit and Trey Parker, like, swings his hips dramatically and the bad guy has to dodge his long penis?
Those long ass
from hitting him in the face. Wasn't that comedic gold?
Yeah, so that's this. That's this movie.
Any other thoughts?
Oh, didn't love the team named the LA Riots either. Gotta say,
pretty edgy. Especially 1998. It was only like what, like 6 years previously.
Yeah.
The only real other line or a note that I took worth mentioning is the bar drinking scene, like, genuinely made me want to vomit.
Oh my God.
That was drinking so rough. Cause it was like,
Springer. Just and a child.
Yeah. It's like, first of all, just imagining them drinking that much tequila that quickly. And then coupled with like the noises that they added in, like going with all of it. Just like the kind of like slurping, gargling, gulping, like with it. It like, I really wanted to fucking puke right then and there. Which is like, I guess they, yeah. Mission accomplished. They achieved what they were hoping to achieve, but fuck, I hated it so much.
I was also confused about like the like play. For lack of a better word,
the action
that they that they put on, the Caribbean, like,
oh yeah, oh yeah, what
performance?
I forgot about
that. Began the championship game of base of the thing at the end.
Yeah,
I was confused. I'm like, why are we doing this?
Oh man! All right, listen. This is the only Letterboxd review that matters. I'm not going to do any more, I promise. It's my favorite one. I've saved it on my phone. It's 3 stars. Yowie saved sports.
Yowie?
Oh my God. If you know, you know. This
do you
movie
know?
Was so
no.
stupid.
I thought she said, I thought she said, yeah, we saved sports.
Oh my God.
What?
I'll explain it to you later.
Why can't you explain it to me now?
Yaoi is the Japanese genre of boy love manga. It's like boys making out and falling in love.
Okay.
And it's an online thing, and it's clearly we're on different parts of the internet.
Oh, they mentioned that in South Park, actually.
Yes, there's an entire Yaoi episode of South Park where, was it
Tweak
and
Craig?
Tweak and Craig.
Yeah, yeah, the girls at school,
it's a really good episode. It's
Tweak
really funny.
Craig, and they're like, should we be boyfriends for the clout?
It's a really fucking good
and
episode.
They're like canonically dating for at least a season.
Fuck, now
anyway.
I want to watch South Park.
South Park's actually still really good, and I watch it all the time, and I've actually, it's one of the few shows I kept watching even throughout college, and they're funny dudes, and this is not the best thing they've ever made.
No, well, I mean, it sounds like they didn't have a lot of actual creative input. I mean, they literally
took this role because they thought South Park was going to get canceled.
Yeah, so, and little do they know. I think that Trey Parker is living my dream life. I think I would love to have this person's life. They just put out a like 25 year South Park concert in Colorado where they just sing all of the bunch of stupid South Park songs they've made over the years. And Trey, they're like dads now, and they're just like on a piano looking daddy, not daddy, lowercase d.
You didn't like, say you wanted to fuck Matt Stone, so.
Matt Stone still kind of looks good, but Trey Parker, no comment. But like,
he looks like a dad.
He looks just like some fucking person's dad. But
but they're just fucking living their best lives, writing stupid songs, screaming Team America, fuck yeah, at a bunch of extremely drunk people.
Well, remember, they also made Book of Fucking Mormon.
Yeah, they're fucking sitting pretty.
They also made Cannibal the Musical. Did you guys ever watch that?
Oh my god, Josh will not shut the fuck up about it.
I've still not even seen Book of Mormon. Much to my chagrin, I really want to.
I watched Cannibal the Musical. I think Cannibal the Musical was literally like a movie they worked on in college or like immediately post-college. Yeah, it was pre-South Park. When they were still living in Colorado. And I watched it in college with my roommate, Teresa, because she showed it to me because it's about this guy named Alfred Packer, who, like, got, like, lost on a hike with people, and then he was the only one who, like, came back, and it turned out he had, like, eaten them. I think it was for survival purposes, but it was, like, I think he's, like, one of the only people convicted of cannibalism in, like, our nation's history or something. But they made a musical about it.
Yeah, and Josh won't stop playing fucking
Shubadoinkle Day?
Yes! You knew exactly which one Josh would love! Yeah, he made me, when I told him we were going to watch basketball, he made me sit down and watch Shubadoinkle Day.
You know what? My heart's as full as a baked potato hearing that. The line from the song, folks.
Josh also really wants me to watch their other musical, Orgasmo, which I think is about, like, porn stars or something. And he won't stop singing this song that just goes like, now you're a man, or something. It's like,
okay.
That's my best Trey Parker impression.
Do you want to know something? So I'm reading the Wikipedia for Cannibal the Musical, and it says, a live staged version was performed at Sierra College in Rockland, California, in 1998.
Oh my god.
So, okay, I have to watch this because it sounds fucking hilarious. It also says Trey Parker, credited as Juan Schwartz, stars as Alfred Packer. Alfred Packer. So it's written, directed, and produced by Trey Parker, starring Trey Parker, and he credits himself as Juan Schwartz.
Guys, should I ask Josh to be a guest on this podcast and have his movie of choice be Cannibal the Musical so we can all watch it and record it for the app?
Yes.
Sure.
Also, here's the brief description of Orgasmo with a Z. Naive young Mormon Joe Young is recruited to act in porn movies.
Okay.
These guys are obsessed with Mormons.
Well, because I'm pretty sure they grew up
in Colorado.
They grew up in a very Mormon town. They might, one of them might have grown up Mormon.
Unclear, but like, I'm sure we can relate to growing up in a very Mormon-y town.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't in that Mormon of a town, though.
There was a big,
there was a good amount of Mormons, though.
A lot of Mormons.
There are a lot of Mormons.
A lot of Mormons. So my last company had a lot of Mormons and former Mormons there at the company, and apparently it's a very like tight community even across the country.
Oh yeah.
And so my friend who grew up in like Las Vegas and then went to BYU knows like a few people that I went to high school with and like just knows their families.
Oh, wow.
He's like, oh yeah, her, like that girl that you went to, like was literally a grade below you, was my sister's maid of honor, or like,
oh my God,
a bridesmaid.
Well, yeah, because they all go to BYU.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
What's that phrase? I'm obsessed with the kids who are constantly walking around BYU asking people if they'd rather like have sex before marriage or kill a dog, and they choose kill a dog.
Yeah.
Like, what's it called? Where it's the Mormon version of Friends with Benefits, where all you do is make out without becoming committed.
I thought we were going to get into soaking, and I was like...
Whatever.
But yeah, no, I remember all the Mormon kids at our high school only, like, hung out with each other for the most part.
Well, I had some Mormon friends. I did theater, and that's where all of...
That's true.
Like, half, if not more than half, of our high school theater department were Mormon kids, which is why no one drank at any of the parties.
That was not the case for the kids in my class.
You had some bad Mormons then, I guess.
Well, no, I just had a bunch of horny theater kids running around school when I was there.
Oh, you're talking about the theater kids.
Yes. That's how nature is supposed to work. All the horny kids join band and or theater and choir. And somehow I was in the era of like, yeah, they're all weird and horny, but they're also all Mormon and none of them wear deodorant. Tell me why.
Anyway, I think we're reaching the end.
We are definitely reaching. let's get to the end and do our final scores. I'm keeping...
So there were some funny moments that we all talked about.
Allegra, it was bad. You should lower your scores.
Here's the thing. I lowered almost every single score. So to make Holland feel better... I was like, I am not.
You can't. You know what? Your sit-through is what it was.
That's what I'm saying. I am not touching my sit-through ability.
Thank God.
That was a true score. I was having a delight. However,
we'll get into
the
it.
The other scores are maybe a little bit adjusted.
Oh no. Okay. I honestly, there's really not that much I can say. I've kind of accepted my fate. I really wasn't trying that hard to defend this movie because I did not enjoy it. So.
Nostalgia, I'm keeping at a 5.
Okay. I appreciate you.
Keeping at a 4.
Okay.
Sit through, I'm keeping at a 2.
I promised you I would keep this at an 8.
This is going to be my saving grace.
Inspiration, I'm keeping at a 4.
I actually lowered it to a 3.
Hey, man, Trey Parker, like, solved child labor. Is that not inspirational enough for you?
It had to be specifically about the sport.
About the sport.
We didn't even talk about this part, you know? Like,
the sport! Yeah.
I had to argue my face off for Lords of Dogtown.
I know, go for it.
We did not talk about how the sport was inspiring.
Hold up, I kept at a 1.
It's a 2.
Okay. Wow, big swing from 6 to 2.
We kept talking about like the LA riots and the fairies and
yeah, I was shocked you had it at a 6 at all.
Clearly didn't really remember. I like blacked out.
And then Can I Follow, I lowered to a 3.
I lowered to a 2.
Yeah, I think I unfortunately contributed to
you didn't
that.
Yeah, you didn't like argue up.
I know. I mean, what am I gonna do?
So
bad.
I was like, a 2 also feels generous for it doesn't hold up. I don't know.
Any bonus points
myself to defend this movie?
I will definitely give a bonus point for those 2 Trey Parker distractions of him just like chomping
the
on foil and cutting his finger off.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. I will give a bonus point to what I actually did really enjoy, like I said a couple times, was like the calling people cocks under his breath because they're all being super rude to him.
Okay.
I also loved that they actually made out.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm not going to give any extra bonus points.
Okay.
Okay.
I feel like Ray would have to mutually
so,
agree to give us another bonus point.
With the 2 bonus points, this movie comes in at a 36.
Okay.
Which means it's 1 point worse than Kangaroo Jack in Grown Ups.
But not as bad as Chuck and Larry.
But not as
what
bad
is
as Chuck and
Larry.
25.
Again? Okay.
I fucking hated that movie. I did not hate this movie the way I hated it.
Yeah,
Chuck
no,
and Larry.
Exactly. I liked it 11 points better.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay, so... Just to do some trivia and info, budget $25 million, I want you guys to guess the box office.
8, 16, 7
Oh, that's close.
Ouch.
Wow.
So for some trivia, this movie is based on a real life game that director David Zucker created with his friends and literally played in the driveway of his home. Many of the reappearing teammates are friends of Zucker and actual original players of the game, asked by the director to be in the movie to pay homage. Zucker had previously attempted to adapt the idea into a TV series without success. A pilot episode was filmed, which starred Chris Rock, but did not materialize.
Wow.
The internet slang for stupidity, the expression derp, was actually first used in this film by Matt Stone's character. So they originated the term derp in this movie.
Wow.
And then it was later used in South Park, which is what spread it to like the usage of the term. Chris Farley turned down the role of Joe Cooper. The script was then subsequently offered to Parker and Stone, who rewrote their characters to reflect their sensibilities better. Al Michaels made $60,000 for his part in the film and Bob Costas $50,000. Michaels had originally agreed to be paid $15,000, but when Costas told him during filming he was making $50,000, Michaels became apoplectic and then hired a lawyer to renegotiate his salary, and it was raised to
$60,000.
Wow. Basketball was released on July 31st, 1998, opening alongside The Parent Trap, The Negotiator, and Ever After. It debuted in the 11th spot in its opening weekend, which was led by Saving Private Ryan. So that's what led to its pan. No, I'm just kidding.
The only reason.
This was funny. So these are just a couple of the reviews. So Michael O'Sullivan of the Washington Post called the film dark, dull, witless, and hobbled by poor comic timing, comparing its gross out humor unfavorably to that of There's Something About Mary. Roger Ebert echoed this sentiment in his negative review in the Chicago Sun-Times, giving the film 1.5 stars out of four and saying the film, quote, tries to buy laughs with puerile shocks. And then I wanted to just quote one more review, because this was the only one on the Wikipedia that was positive. And even still, it says the film was awarded 4 stars out of 5 by Empire Magazine, who called it funny, but described the humor as hit and miss. So their most positive review still says that the humor was hit and miss. So that wraps up the trivia portion of the show. And now one of you guys needs to grab a coin for old gray boy.
Old gray boy. Okay, I have a coin.
Okay.
I have a quarter.
Coffee costs a quarter heads. At the corner store.
And then tails is Louisiana.
Okay.
Okay.
Now you're a state.
Okay. Call it in the air.
Heads.
Damn it!
Oh, no!
Heads!
You can't keep getting away with this!
Okay, so...
Well, I think I know what we're watching. Remember the Titans.
This is tough, though, because...
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
I know. It's between Remember the Titans and Heavyweights, and...
But Allegra did get a pretty good score. She got a 79, and...
He got a fucking, like, 92 last month. He doesn't need the help.
93. And also, did I get a fan vote? Or no, I didn't get a fan vote. Did Allegra get a fan vote?
Allegra did.
So you got an 80.
80.
It's leg day!
Okay. So with that being said... Just because, like, seems as though the only way we're going to watch, like, good movies and not bash our fucking brains out is by my choices. But also, like, Heavyweights kind of falls more in line with the show. Let's see. Do I... do I choose what I think will be better content, or do I choose something that will make my wife not mad at me?
I don't think heavyweights.
I think you, Gray, actually do have the luxury of putting your wife first.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, we're doing heavy. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, yeah, we're going to do Remember the Titans.
Honestly, I welcome a good movie again.
Yeah.
I had to watch this movie so many times in school. I swear I watched this movie like 3 or 4 times.
Well, then your nostalgia's going to be high, baby.
I really don't think I've seen it that. I really don't remember.
Strong side. Left side. Strong side. Left side.
I remember that Ryan Gosling's in it.
Never mind.
Anyway.
I swear that this
so is Turk.
My teachers, whenever they got hungover, this is the movie they played. This is my conspiracy theory.
Is it historical?
Yes.
I mean, I know it's based on a true story, but it's like
the 60s and they're desegregating the football team.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. See again. Okay. Well, next week we're watching Remember the Titans. Probably the sportiest movie.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's definitely the sportiest movie we'll be watching this month. Please follow us on Instagram at LatchkeySibs. You can also email us at LatchkeySibs@gmail.com. Let us know all your thoughts. Make sure you check our Instagram stories every Friday-ish. Sometimes that bleeds into the next day when I forget. But to vote on our scores. And I also want to apologize for the lack of TikToks. I just truly have not had the bandwidth to do that lately. So the TikToks might be a little more come and go. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Don't actually say anything.